We are here today with Professor Rich Ehrenberg, who is an adjunct lecturer in public policy and political science and teaches classes on Congress and the federal budget and Congress and congressional leadership. Professor Ehrenberg also worked in Congress for over 34 years, holding positions such as legislative director for Senator Paul Tsongas, chief of staff for Senator George Mitchell, and legislative director and deputy chief of staff for Senator Carl Levin. Professor Ehrenberg, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, sir.
So it's October 8th, and the government has been shut down for over a week. The last shutdown occurred in 1996 with Newt Gingrich and President Clinton, and that lasted almost a month. Do you think that this shutdown is similar? And if so, do you see it lasting as long and ending similarly?
Well, actually, this shutdown's a bigger deal.
Really?
In the sense that, as you may know, Congress has passed none of the necessary appropriations bills. There are 12 of them in order to keep the government going. None of them have been signed into law. In 95, 96, I believe it was 7 that we had passed. So it wasn't really the entire government that had to be shut down. For example, the Department of Defense that there's been so much talk about this time was actually running then. The other big difference that I've mentioned is as polarized and poisonous as the relationship between Speaker Gingrich and President Clinton was in the 1990s, things have become steadily more polarized in the years since. So I would say that today there's much less freer lines of communication open between the parties in trying to resolve this.
So you talked about communication between the parties, but within each party, I know that Ted Cruz has played a really interesting role in this whole saga. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about what he's trying to achieve or what you think he might be trying to achieve and how this has affected the internal relations of the Republican Party leadership.
Well, I have a kind of skeptical view of Senator Cruz in that I believe he's what I call an outwardly facing senator, and that is, he's not so much trying to accomplish something within the body as he is trying to address a constituency outside.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I think his main objective is to make himself the face of opposition to Obamacare. He's gambling that he's thinking about a presidential run in 2016. He's gambling that Obamacare will be very unpopular at that time and that that will benefit him greatly. But he's had a large influence on the 30 or 40 conservative members of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives, the so-called Tea Party caucus, that although it's only 30 or 40 of them, they're having a disproportionate impact on this whole business because they basically have Speaker Boehner cornered. And the reason that happens is because there's 100 to 150 conservative Republicans in the House who probably don't think this is such a great idea, but they're more concerned about primary elections in the next congressional elections because they have safe congressional districts thanks to gerrymandering, so that they're more concerned about somebody from their right giving them a primary in the next elections. And they're kind of frozen by that. So that's why it looks like the tail of the 30 and 40 can wag the dog of the entire Republican caucus. And of course, without the House, constitutionally, appropriations bills have to originate in the House. Without the House, the Senate can't act, and the shutdown continues.
You were speaking a little bit about how a lot of their main initiative is to defund Obamacare,
right,
to stop the Affordable Care Act. So we're in a shutdown, but online marketplaces are open,
right?
Exactly. And the Affordable Care Act is functioning. So do you think that they've been effective, or do you think that they're on the right track to accomplishing what they want?
No, the opposite. I think in that regard, they've been ineffective. You know, to the extent they want to raise the issue and gin up their own base constituency, if that's the objective, maybe they've been successful. But if the objective is to defund Obamacare, they've never been anywhere near that from day one. That was a non-starter with the Senate. Even if the Congress were to pass it, which it wouldn't because it's a non-starter with the Senate, the president would veto it. It's not going anywhere. And they're about to play that same game on the debt ceiling, which you know, the issue of raising the debt ceiling is even more serious, even more dangerous for the country than merely shutting down the government. I can't believe I'm saying merely shutting down the government. But if we default on our national debts, this will be the first time in American history. And all throughout our history, U.S. government bonds, that's the safe haven for money all around the world. And if that suddenly is put in question by the unwillingness of the government to pay its obligations, you know, that will have enormous impacts for the world economy, not to mention our own national economy.
Given that we think it should be a greater priority, do you think that Congress will begin acting like it's a greater priority? Do you see the political lens and topic of discussion shifting in the coming weeks?
It's a very scary situation. In a sense, you could say the grown-ups in Washington understand just how dangerous this game is and would like to get past the, you know, get a clean continuing resolution passed, lift the debt ceiling, and then sit down and negotiate the budget issues. But as we've already said, we've got this tail in the House of Representatives able to wag the whole dog. And, you know, they're not looking at national public opinion. They're apparently not even looking at national interest. What they're looking at is their own constituencies back home. Many of these members, as I said, represent highly Republican, highly conservative districts, and they're just not flexible enough. You know, they see compromise as a dirty word.
So if you were a leader of the Republican Party, and a lot of your caucus was mainly concerned about their constituencies, as you talked about, what would be your strategy?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that you're going to be a leader, you're going to be Speaker of the House of Representatives. People like Tip O'Neill knew at some point you've got to stand up, you know, the traditional view of the Speaker over American history was not that just they were the party of the majority in the House of Representatives, but that they were the leaders of the House of Representatives itself in a bipartisan fashion. So I think that the Speaker, as really the most important constitutional officer after the President of the United States, has a responsibility to the nation. And I think the strategy here would be to get beyond these crises. And as I said, the President has expressed his willingness to negotiate on the big budget issues. Both the House and the Senate passed budget resolutions, very, very different ones, last April. And they haven't even been able to get into a conference because the Republicans have refused to go to conference with them on the budget. So that's what, you know, that's, as they call it in Washington, that's the regular order. That's what they should be doing.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us
today. My pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.